Hi, everybody. Pete Lockhart here, senior producer for Octave Music. Thanks so much for subscribing to Errol Garner Uncovered. We can't wait to share the rest of the series with you. Our next episode featuring Helen Sung and the music of Garner's campus concert will be available in 2 weeks on November 4th. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy this bonus episode that we've assembled from Garner's archive. It features a conversation between Errol and Chicago radio legend Mike Rapchak, recorded in 1966, just after the release of Garner's Campus Concert album. They get into Garner's history coming up in Pittsburgh, his early days on New York's 52nd Street, his relationship with international audiences, and Rapchak even offers Garner a blindfold test to see if he can identify the musician behind a cover of his famous tune, Misty. We hope you enjoy this trip back in time with Garner's archives, and we can't wait to share the rest of our series with you in just a few weeks. Now, here's Errol Garner with Mike Rapchak.
Time is 3:09, and here seated atop a Manhattan telephone directory on our reserved chair at WLS-FM is an old pal and one of the greatest compliments I heard about this young fellow. I once asked Barney Kessel, we were discussing pianists, I said, what do you think of Errol Garner? He said, Errol Garner is a way of life. And that is about the nicest thing I ever heard. Errol, welcome to WLS-FM, and again, of course, Chicago.
Well, wonderful. And I'm real glad to be here back with you, my man, Mike. That's for sure.
This is your first nightclub engagement, isn't it? You're making that concert tour all year long.
All year long. That's a fact. In fact, I mean, including summertime, we have a lot of outdoor concerts, too, you know. Mm-hmm. And between that and a little radio and TV here and there, but like... We've been strictly on concerts mostly.
Mm-hmm. You have switched record affiliations and are now connected with MGM Records, and they hurried out your campus concert album, which again is it's a lesson to aspiring pianists of how to play the piano. Errol, there's only one Errol Garner, of course. There's only one Errol Garner sound. How did... You know, I heard your records when you played at Minton's back in early 50s and so forth. How did you accumulate and generate this individual sound of yours?
Well, I'll be frank with you. I never could afford a big band, so I figured I had to try to get it out of the piano.
Really, to tell you the truth, Mike, that's a fact.
But I do love big bands.
Yeah.
But, so I just figured, well, if we can take three pieces and try to get close to it, yeah. It's still a thrill.
Well, I remember meeting you in 1949 in Gary, Indiana, and you were on a show with a good friend of mine named Jesse Coopwood. Oh,
that's right.
Remember?
Jesse, and he was a disc jockey.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. Very good friend of mine, yes.
And I said to you, I want to meet the man with the four hands. And you kind of grinned, and I've called you that ever since. And then I noticed in releases coming from England and overseas, they were calling you the man with the 20 fingers.
Yes, and now it has developed to 40. When it came to 40 here in Chicago, I say right up that they told me about the other day, the man with the 40 fingers. I really thought about you. Then I said, boy, he's really going to put hands on me.
You're from Pittsburgh.
Pennsylvania, yes.
And I was thinking the other day, there have been four or five outstanding pianists come from Pittsburgh. Billy Strayhorn,
Earl Hines, Mary Lou Williams.
Mary Lou Williams is another I forgot.
Oh, yes, and Amma Jamal.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we had a couple more there. I'm trying to think who came out of there. Dodo Mama Rosa.
Dodo, that's
we,
right.
We and him went to school together.
And
he did a lot of things with Lester Young, you know.
Oh, yeah. With Artie Shaw.
Yeah, that's right. And, there's a couple more. I can't. Ernie Hopper.
Oh, for the love
right
of
here in Chicago.
Ernie, very well.
Yeah.
Why is it Pittsburgh comes out with all you piano players? Billy May came out of it.
I think we used to have what they call so many little Saturday night functions, and that's all we could afford was piano. So therefore, everybody had to learn to play the piano.
How long ago did you leave Pittsburgh, Earl?
Oh, I left Pittsburgh actually in 1942.
'42. Mm-hmm. When did you first feel that jazz was it for you?
Well, that was when I joined Slam Stewart's trio.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
On 52nd Street. Yeah. That was about 44.
Yeah.
2 years later, yeah.
And
I was with Slam for about 3 to 4 years, if you remember.
Yeah.
And then he went with Benny Goodman, and they went into that show, Seven Lively Arts, with Jane Withers, you know. And
boy,
Red Norville.
Yeah, Red Norville. Yes. Yeah. Boy, you got a memory. Wow. That goes back.
Yes.
Boy, that 52nd Street really was a swinging
place. Oh, that was it. I mean, just go from room to room. You had Billie Holiday. You had everybody. Rogers, anybody you wanted to see.
Oh.
Gene Cooper, anybody. Name it.
Yeah.
Benny Carter's band and everybody.
And what is the place like today?
Well, now they have ABC Studios.
Oh, yeah.
They have all other, pardon me, and all other studios that are building in them big buildings here on 6th Avenue now.
Oh.
Yes.
And all those memories are just memories now.
That is for sure.
How about the audiences that you played for overseas, Earl? I'm sure that they waited for you. And
they did.
Played.
And they are so very, very fantastic. And they really wait. And one thing about them is that they love your music,
mm-hmm.
but there's one thing about them, like they get their albums slower over
mm-hmm.
there and then records and things slower
mm-hmm.
than we do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's one thing they do believe in. They'll accept the new stuff that you do,
mm-hmm.
but they really love you when you play the old with the new, because this is what they know you from.
That's right. You're right. You know, I always believe.
And this is something I always believed in.
I've always believed you can sell nostalgia. You can sell memories.
Yes.
And, for instance, Stan Kenton was here and he couldn't understand why he had an album called, something like Stan Kenton's All-Time Hits. It was his biggest seller.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't understand why it was successful. And I said, Stan, you're selling nostalgia.
That's
and
it.
People like to remember.
That is true. It's like Duke Ellington went over there. When he went over there, he went over and they played a lot of new things that Billy Strayhorn and everybody had written.
Mm-hmm.
Well, over here, they were about 6 to 8 months. Oh,
mm-hmm.
over here to a year.
Yeah.
Oh. Which was a different story.
Yeah.
But over there, so somebody talked to him, and I was telling him too, and I said, well, boom. So then he started playing, when he put that thing together with the medley with the Swiss Cake Lady,
mm-hmm.
he played that, and then they played the new thing, and pow, they stood up and hang out the rafters.
Sure.
But they had to hear that sophisticated lady, that
right.
Moon Indigo.
Sure.
But they knew him by that. And their funny thing over there, they'll go over to you and say, oh, well, I got your album, see y'all, 259, you know? And they really know it. He said, little kids come up and tell you
right.
the number of an album.
That's
fantastic.
Fantastic, is right. One thing about you, Earl, you told me, and you repeated in several articles, you don't care what the jazz critics say. You play for the people.
I always do, and I still stick to that. And they might bounce me about it, but I say it on TV, radio, anywhere, because I believe that away.
Right, and I'm with you. Let's hear that melody, and of course, you flower it and embroider it delightfully. But I'm glad of that stand of yours towards these critics who become to, you know.
That's it. But I don't believe in that, because like a lot of jazz critics, as they call up to you and say, this is not, don't tell me that you're just only, that you don't never play for you. I say, but the public, which makes me want to play for me.
Right.
But what I'm playing for me, I'm sharing with them.
Right, sure.
Which is the same thing, but they don't want to see it that way.
No.
They want you to see that, well, I'm playing strictly for me and forget, I don't know that my public's there.
Yeah.
Well, I do know they're there.
Yeah. And that's no doubt the reason for your fabulous success over these years.
Well, I played for me when I was coming up.
Yeah, and the bread was a little thin.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to play a version of your fabulous Misty. Incidentally, that also was on the Reader's Digest list of all time most popular songs ever written. Misty was included. And also, a left-handed compliment to you, Picnic, was on there also.
Yes, thank you.
Well, tell me, I'm going to give you a Leonard Feather blindfold test. Tell me whose version of Misty this is. Ready?
Ready.
Okay. Thank you. the way, Dick, we will go out on Almost Like Being in Love from Errol's Campus Concert album. And you say that was?
Brother George here.
You're absolutely
which is my
right.
cut buddy.
Oh, boy. How could you figure that out? That's amazing.
Well, I'll tell you, because simple reason, I know George's style. And we came up together. Like, I gave up my job for George so that he could get his citizen thing to bring his family over from London, where we were in the Three Deuces together. I was with Slam then.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, okay. And so when I left, I gave George my job, and I went to California. That way, George didn't have to go back and come back again.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, with that 6 months thing, you
yeah,
know, with
yeah.
the unions
yeah.
and all that
oh,
confusion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I remember Leonard Feather bringing him over. Upstairs in my desk, I should have brought it down. I have a copy of an old Downbeat, 1942.
Yeah.
There's a picture of... about six guys in England, taken in England, and they're all like promoters and
yes.
And they're standing in the middle. It says George Shearing, pianist.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of hair. And he's thin.
Yeah.
And he's got lapels on his tuxedo. You know, they stick out the hair. He's got big shoulders and everything. And I'm saving it for him. Uh-huh. I wonder how I could have that picture.
See, I just saw him 2 weeks ago in London, just before I came here, and we were together. We was laughing about it because he used to play accordion.
No? Yeah, I know. Yes. And I got a record, a couple records
yes.
of him on accordion,
mm-hmm.
and he wants me to break them. Errol, you got to go. You have other places to go. You do me a favor and read this little promotion here, and then we'll use yeah. that throughout the year.
Hi, this is Errol Garner for my old pal, Mike Repchick. For the best stereo music in Chicago, listen to Mike's Monday through Saturday here on WLS FM. He's swinging all the time.
Right. Errol, I want to thank you so much for coming by and say hello to Martha for me. And you're leaving?
Monday morning.
Monday?
For San Francisco.
San Francisco. You'll probably run into Dan Sorkin.
Yes.
Who is now Great. Working at KGO.
Wonderful. And I know Dan.
You
yes.
know, sure,
yes,
of course sure. you know Dan. You tell him I said hello.
Well, yeah. I promise I will, sincerely.
Okay, Errol, yes. and again, as I say, thanks again for coming by. And our door is always open for you to come in.
And I shall return, and may all your beautiful listeners continue listening.
Okay, thank you. Errol Garner, and here's a track from Errol's album.